So used to saying good afternoon, but it's good morning to you all. And if you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according, to Psalm 138. Some things we just get used to, but I was kidding there. Psalm 138, we completed our study in the Gospel of John. And today we will consider just this short psalm. A psalm in which, as I was studying, a psalm which is close to my heart, has been for a long time, and I realized you could preach a sermon on every verse. So forgive me today, we're just going to do the whole psalm, kind of an overview, if you like. Psalm 138, your Bibles, let's read together. This is the Word of God. It's a psalm of David, and he breaks right into praise. I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called you, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give thanks to you, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Thou walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Wonderful psalm. Psalm 138, a psalm of David. So, first question I had in my mind is, where does this psalm fit into the other 150 psalms that are in the scriptures? Well, before this psalm, we have the well-known 15 psalms of ascent, from 120 to 134. The psalms of ascent, as God's people go up to Jerusalem and call one another to go to Zion and worship God. And then right after those 15 psalms of ascent, there follows three psalms of praise uttered by the chorus of those who have gone up to Zion. Psalm 135 to 137. And you'll most certainly recall, for example, Psalm 137, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. So these preceding 18 psalms, the 15 psalms of ascent, and this chorus of praise to those who'd been to up to Zion to worship and remembered those days, we then come to this psalm before us, 138, and this is the first psalm of 8 psalms. So this goes through to Psalm 145, and Spurgeon suggests that these 8 psalms can be viewed as a devout Israelite's manual of private prayer and praise. If you take the time to read these, you'll certainly see that it bears this out. Very personal encounters with and experiences of God. And here, Psalm 139, you all know so well, will stand out, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. And these 8 psalms are very personal. And it's no longer the nation of Israel, but it's me, O Lord, the psalmist who cries out to God. And then you have the final 5 psalms in the Psalter that all open with the words, praise the Lord. And they are psalms of praise for the people of God and all nations. But now Psalm 138, we don't have a clear understanding of David's circumstances. And so many psalms of David, he's writing about something and we can connect it to the Old Testament, but we don't have any definite reason given or link to the time in David's life, and neither does this matter with this psalm, because in this psalm, David reviews his life. He looks back and he considers the present and he expresses faith and praise to God for his certain, confident care of him in the future. And it's a life of testimony and praise and devotion to God. And some people have, in fact, linked this psalm to 2 Samuel chapter 7, when God announces his covenant with David. And at the end of 2 Samuel 7, David brings a prayer of gratitude that has similarity. So that is a possibility. And listen to those last verses of 2 Samuel 7. "And now, O Lord God, your God, your words are true, and you've promised a good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever." But that's for interest's sake in the link to this psalm. But this psalm is a psalm of personal devotion to God. So in our brief study in the psalm today, 138, we have four main headings. We consider, in the first place, the psalmist gives praise for his glorious attributes. Praise for the glorious attributes of God. If you look at verse 1 and the first part of verse 2, "I give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to you for your name and your steadfast love." The psalmist's private worship and devotion to God was a part of his life. And brothers and sisters, that's why we always go to the Psalms when we're depressed or lonely or in help or down or need encouragement and want to praise God again. We go to the Psalms because so much of it is David's personal experience with the Psalms. And David's first thought of God brings to him heartfelt praise. It's not just words. It's with my whole heart. And his love for God was all-consuming. "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart." It caused him in his heart, and possibly even with his body, as he says, to bow down towards your holy temple. And there was no temple at the time of David. You may remember just the tabernacle. And perhaps primarily he bows down towards heaven or towards Jerusalem, where the temple will once again be built, that symbol of God's presence, which was the temple and the most holy place that we learned about last Lord's Day, about the tabernacle there between the seraphim and the mercy seat. And it was not that David did not understand God's omnipresence. No, that God only dwells in the temple. No, David had a close personal relationship with God, and he knew God was everywhere. He knew that he could go nowhere from this mighty God. And Psalm 139 tells you all about this. Where can you go? God is everywhere. I can't hide from him. God's holy dwelling is Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. And it was only towards the end of David's life, talking about the tabernacle and the temple, that he was moved. And David in his life was moved towards the end when he said, "Lord, how is it that you still dwell in a tent? There isn't even a tabernacle for you to dwell in." And then the prophet Nathan reminds David that the Lord will grant to his offspring to build again the holy temple to the Lord, with the most holy place and the seraphim there above the mercy seat. And that was, of course, accomplished by his father Solomon. Point is, the thoughts of God, and Psalm 1 tells us, thoughts even of the law of God filled his heart and reminded him that that is a blessed man who is all consumed with God and his holy law. And brothers and sisters, these were not sentimental thoughts. When the music's going and we're swaying a little bit, we feel good and everything's going well at home. No, these are not sentimental thoughts. They were because of his contemplation of the attributes of God. His holiness, his glorious splendor in heaven, and particularly as this psalm indicates for us, his steadfast love and faithfulness. Oh, David is filled with praise from his heart because of God's steadfast love and faithfulness. And David knows this from personal experiences. He looks back over his life. And perhaps he was recalling here the time when he was fleeing from Saul, who wanted to take his life so many times. And he writes in Psalm 57 about that encounter and God delivering him from Saul's hand. I will give thanks to you, he says again, O Lord, among the people, among the heathens, and among all peoples, among the kings, as he says in this verse, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens. Your faithfulness, the same words, your steadfast love and your faithfulness. This is who God is, and this is what fills him with personal praise. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be known among all the earth. What is going on here? Brothers and sisters, it is his daily walk with God. And it is the believer's daily walk with God that ought to thrill the life of the believer. Even as we consider that God is an ever-present God and the promised perpetual presence of his Son to us that we heard from the Gospel of John. The Lord Jesus Christ and the promised Holy Spirit that dwells within us. Thankfulness to God, a love for his house. And here today with the gathered people of God, as we look forward to our eternal home in heaven, we lift our hearts, our hands, our voices toward heaven, toward Zion's hill, where the glorious brilliance of his presence will be enjoyed forever. In his presence, when he comes or calls every one of his precious children. And it's a consideration of God's glorious attributes, his steadfast love, his faithfulness, his holiness, his wrath, his justice, his mercy, all of these things. Consideration of these glorious attributes that stirs the believer to praise the Lord in his personal life, in his life. David uttered these words the first time when he was in deep distress, fearing for his life. And now looking back, he recalls this one thing, God's steadfast love and faithfulness, with a heart filled with praise for his Redeemer. There's no remedy for trial or affliction or persecution. There's no remedy for fear of death like the remedy of praise to God with a full heart. His steadfast love and faithfulness is unchangeable and constant and can be relied upon. And it's not a man, but David had it so easy. No, he did not. Read his life. It was a mess. And after he was king and towards his later years, it was very hard. But God's steadfast love and faithfulness can be relied upon. And this is what fills him with personal praise and worship to God. When evil thoughts molest, the song goes, with this I shield my breast, may Jesus Christ be praised. The powers of darkness fear, when this sweet chant they hear, may Jesus Christ be praised. Brothers and sisters, here is a remedy for the believer in time of trouble, in time of blessing, in time of depression, in time of sin, in time of need. Praise the Lord for his steadfast love and faithfulness. There's another theme, another source of comfort and reason for praise in this psalm. And so we consider in the second place, praise for his supremely exalted revelation. Praise for his supremely exalted revelation. Look at verse 2, the second part of verse 2 to 5. Psalmist goes on and said, "For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord." So there's the second thing, praise for his supremely exalted revelation. Now God has given to man, as we know, in creation, natural revelation. And that revelation leaves man without excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And so all man is without excuse. And Psalm 19 verse 1, and Romans picks up the very same theme. We know that verse so well. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. Natural revelation. And so although they knew God, no man can claim there is no God. They knew God. They did not honor him as God and give thanks to him. Natural revelation. But the psalmist does not appeal to natural revelation here, or the God-given conscience, that God consciousness that is in every human being, as Pascal determined, the philosopher. But something far greater he appeals to, something more glorious and supreme. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Your name and your word. Brothers and sisters, that is the word of God. It is the Logos whom David could not see here except with the eye of faith in the promise of the Messiah. And it is through him that God has finally and completely spoken. It is through the revelation of the mystery of Christ that God has spoken in heaven and on earth. In these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. It is special revelation, which is the very word of God. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division, soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and imaginations of the heart. This is the word of God that can do that, not natural revelation. Without this, we cannot truly know God. The heavens declare his glory, but the word reveals God in all his glorious attributes, so that we can know him, the only true God, in his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. We can learn that he is holy and merciful. We learn that he is both justice and love. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is everywhere present, glorious in splendor, doing wonders. And this, a God of faithfulness and loving kindness, this is found supremely and only in his word. And his word is supremely exalted above all things, because it is who he is. It is his name. And it's almost like David is prophesying too from what he doesn't know. For the older versions actually say that God exalted above his name, his word. And that's a little confusing. In your Bible, you'll see a little footnote. Or above his name. Well, how is that? Well, I see that as a prophetic utterance of the Logos of God, who is given a name above every name. For he is the Logos. He is the word of God. And God is exalted above all things. His word and his name. We may perceive right from wrong by our God-given consciences, but we cannot, apart from his word, understand the depths of sin and depravity of the human heart, and the great offense that our sin is against God, leaving man justly to eternal damnation and hell forever. We may even perceive by God's common grace from nature as he sends rain upon the just and the unjust. But we cannot, apart from the word of God, learn of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardon that is there secured for every child of God by his substitutionary suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. The heavens and all creation can teach us that there is a God who deserves to be worshipped. Wow! Look at creation! We should worship God. Brothers and sisters, apart from the word of God, we cannot know how to truly worship God in spirit and in truth. We cannot understand the holiness that God demands from the believer, without which no one will see God. We cannot know that Jesus Christ alone is the way and the truth and the life, and that no man can come to the Father except by me. You see why God is exalted above all things, his name and his word. Brothers and sisters, the psalmist understood this, that the revelation of God about himself, his holy attributes and glorious splendor, and man about man, his sin and his salvation, is in God alone and his required walk of holiness and promised everlasting life can only be known because of special revelation. His word and his name, which has been exalted. It is for this reason that the psalmist is full of praise. Yes, he loves to be with God's people. And the Psalms of Ascent have been there. And the glorious remembrance of Zion and praising God with his people. But this psalmist has a personal walk with God. And he is filled with love and praise because of God's steadfast love and faithfulness. He's filled with love and praise to a God who is exalted above all things, his name and his word. So great is his name and his exalted word that the psalmist has great confidence. If the kings of the earth had to hear this word, truly hear it, they too will sing his praise. They will praise him, even his enemies, when God speaks and reveals himself. This is the outcome. All have heard the words of the Lord in truth. Like King David the king, sing of the ways of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will give thanks to you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, and especially unbelievers here today, that is still the case. That is still the case today. Natural revelation is wonderful, but it is only God's word that can save your soul. It is only God's word that tells us of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. It is only God's word that points out that your sin is sending you in a one way to hell for eternal deserved punishment, but that there is mercy at the cross. Thus we exalt, praise, worship the name and the word of the Lord, which is one, for he himself has exalted them high above all things. This leads us to the psalmist's next reason and motivation for praise. Consider the third place. Number three, praise for his merciful condescension. Praise for his merciful condescension. Verse 3 again. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. Verse 6, just jump over to verse 6. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. We need not wonder. Will God hear when I call from the depths of my being? A cry for mercy from the bottom of my heart. Will God hear me? Because God has spoken. And God has revealed who he is and what he is like in his nature. This has given the psalmist great security and perfect hope. God is God. What does that mean? He does not slumber nor sleep. He does not miss anything. Even the sparrow that falls to the ground, he knows. He's not an idol made with hands that cannot respond or move or see. He is the living God, a God who is unchanging with steadfast love and faithfulness. God is a God whose word is faithful and true, and he cannot be false to himself. Oh, we promise all sorts of things, and then we forget, then we renege, then we never really intended to keep that promise. God is not a man that he should lie. His word is faithful and true. The psalmist gives great thanks for the great condescension of the Almighty. He hears the prayers of his people without fail. In fact, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Why? Because he has revealed himself. That is who he is. He is faithful and true and just and merciful. It is these things that must fill our hearts with praise. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is our supreme example and our confidence, who became a man. And the Bible says who in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. So too for Christ's sake, and in his name, our prayers and supplications are heard by the Father. On the day I called, you answered me, and my strength of soul increased. The assurance that the living God condescends to hear his people's supplication strengthens the faith of his people. And it's not like this time God won't hear. The terrible things I've done, I'm calling to him, but I don't even deserve to. He hears your supplications because they are in Christ's name and for his sake. Because he heard the supplications of his Son, and he promises to hear our supplication. For though the Lord is great, in spite of this greatness and holiness and steadfast love and perfect beauty and glorious splendor, imagine the President of the United States. He doesn't care about you and your little problems. Yes, he cares nationally. But God Almighty cares for every one of his people. I cried to him, and he answered me. And he increased the strength of my soul. My faith increased. Why? Because of his word, which is exalted above all things. Brothers and sisters, his word assures us that those who are tender in heart, those who humble themselves before God, will be hurt. No matter how bad you are, no matter how unfaithful you think you may have been, and that may be true, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he will exalt you. He will exalt you. This knowledge, brothers and sisters, the psalmist found to be a source of great praise, a source of the strengthening of his faith. God cares for every one of his sheep with an intimate knowledge that David explained in Psalm 139. He knows my thoughts from afar. He knows the words that I'm about to say before they're even on my lips. This knowledge is too great for me. And he will do good to our souls. Why? Because of his steadfast love, his faithfulness to his Son, and to his Son's people for whom his Son died. For the New Testament believer, a truth that the psalmist couldn't yet grasp, the Lord's condescension is seen supremely where? In the Lord Jesus Christ, in his Son, who humbled himself, clothed himself with meekness, took into his divinity perfect humanity. The condescending Savior making himself on earth subservient to his Father, though he was equal with God, though he is in subsistence God, and yet he becomes subservient, as the Spirit also clothes us with meekness and humility, the meekness and humility found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbeliever, once again, do not let your proud and haughty spirit keep you from bowing the knee to Christ. For Christ knows the haughty from afar. But humble yourselves before the Lord. Call upon Him. Ask Him for mercy, believing that He is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And that God raised Him from the dead. And that He suffered on the cross and humbled Himself for the guilt of His people. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And you may think you do not need God. You do not need His word. Oh, I see creation. I believe in God. I worship God. No, you don't and you cannot. But Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What a matter of great wholehearted praise and thanksgiving to God for His mercy and condescension to man. And this brings us to the final item of praise in this psalm, number 4. Praise for His ongoing providential care. Praise for His ongoing providential care. And this kind of like is a normal conclusion. If we consider all that God is, all that He has done, and His condescension, and His love, and His mercy, and His faithfulness, where else can it conclude? And with the psalmist, his final praise is just for this. Verse 7 and 8 of our verse. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, it doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter who wants to kill me. It doesn't matter what trials I have. You preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. For me? Yes, me. I'm just a small little member here. I got the weakest faith of all. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Why will He do that? Because that is who He is. A God of faithfulness and steadfast love. And so He will fulfill His purpose for me. This life of personal praise and our walk with God is not conditional upon favorable circumstances. You know, when everything goes well and there's money in the bank and the job has got to increase and the family's happy and everything's good. It's not conditional upon that. In fact, David says, I walk in the midst of trouble. His whole life was trouble. He attracted trouble. And yet he says, my praise is in God. Because He will fulfill His purpose for me. Why? Because of His steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. It's not conditional upon prosperity or good health, but as we noted, they spring from a consideration of God's glorious attributes. Our minds have been informed by the Word and convinced with the help of the Spirit of God that through that God's word is supremely exalted, His revelation. And brothers and sisters, may we, like the psalmist, be filled with praise towards God who has revealed Himself. And a God who, though He's mighty and high and holy and brilliant, awe and splendor, yet He is a God who mercifully condescends, and those who call upon His name and believe on His Son, upon that name who is holy, they will be saved. The outcome of all these things and the contemplation of them strengthens his faith and fills him with joy and confidence for the future, for God's continual guidance and protection and providential care. No matter how great and numerous his enemies or his trials or his afflictions may be, he trusts in God. A God who has revealed himself and showed himself to be the only true God, the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, who not only created all things, but sustains all things by the word of his power. This to the psalmist gives him great hope. And you may be thinking, what is happening in the future? What is going to become of this country? What is going to become of the wars? What is going to become of the pandemics that seem to plague us? Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And that's like a rhetorical question, really. It's a statement. You will not forsake the work of your hands. Brothers and sisters, everything is fluid and changing. The world is changing. The things that used to be sure and certain to us have become matters of concern and insecurity. Nations are at war. Pandemics, diseases plague the world. Natural resources are threatened. There are droughts, rumors of war. Climate change seems to be threatening the sustainability of life on Earth for future generations. Where will it all end? What will become of us? There's so much reason to be pessimistic. The believer is challenged on every front. Morality and injustice is perverted. Good is called good and evil is considered good is called evil and evil is considered good. But we, like the psalmist, can look to God and trust in his steadfast love and faithfulness. We, like the psalmist, can praise God who has revealed himself gloriously in his word, that his name may be known. We can know and rest in the secure knowledge that he regards the lowly, those who humble themselves and call upon his name. Brothers and sisters, it is the Church of Christ that is filled with hope and security despite all the gloom and doom in the world. Our trust is in God, who will deliver us from all our enemies, and he will keep us from eternal death because he forgives us our sins in Christ Jesus. He will fulfill his purposes for the church. God will fulfill his purposes for me. Psalm 33 is a psalm that David ascribes praise to God for this very thing. Listen to these words. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, and on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. The psalmist has absolute trust in the ongoing providential care of God because of his name and his word and his nature. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Brothers and sisters, this was David's personal walk with God. What about you? What about you? Let's take the psalm and make it our own. Let's trust in that name and that word. Forget about your circumstances and everything going well. God is with us when we are surrounded by enemies. And as we close today, by way of recap, maybe, I just have 4 points, 4 short lessons and applications from each of our 4 points. And they're really small. If you want this, I'll go through them. Number one, pay close attention to your personal walk with Christ. Pay close attention to your personal walk with Christ. You're faithful in the church. You come and worship God. But is he your praise on Monday morning and Saturday afternoon? Is he the one you trust through every trial? Is he the one who you praise and rejoice in because he has exalted his name and his word above all? And you need fear no evil. Consideration of God's glorious attributes summed up in this steadfast love and faithfulness must always be our motivation to worship him, not our personal favorable circumstances. In fact, God often blesses us when we are most low, when we are brought to our lowest. Personal praise to God is a mighty weapon against the evil one. Number two. Lesson number two. What God has exalted above all things, His name and His word, must be all things to us. God is exalted above all things. His name and His word must be all things to us. Brothers and sisters, treasure God's word and honor His name above all things in your life, above family, material possessions, and comforts. God's name and His word. God's special revelation in His Son, the Word, gives us all that we need for life and godliness, to live lives worthy of the name of Christ. Cause the word of Christ to dwell in you richly, because God has exalted it above all things. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I am filled with praise every day because of His glorious attributes. Number three. Praise God for His merciful condescension seen supremely in our Lord Jesus Christ. For all these things about God is true as they are. What good would they be to us if God is not condescending? If God did not send His only Son, He loved us and gave Himself for us. Follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in humility and meekness and sacrificial service. A humble and a contrite heart, O God, You will not despise. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Praise God for His condescension seems supremely in our Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly and finally, as we close today, because of His steadfast love and faithfulness, because of His holy and exalted word, trust in God's unfailing care for you. Trust in God's unfailing providential care for you. All God's purposes for His church and for our individual lives will be accomplished. Therefore, we need not fear. The Lord will fulfill His purposes for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of Your hands. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we have so much to praise You for. How we bow before You in humble repentance for so often questioning You, for so often thinking that God has left us alone, God has deserted us because of our sin or circumstances, we are forgotten. But, O Lord, we thank You for Your glorious attributes. We thank You that You are a God of steadfast love and faithfulness. We thank You that You are a God who has revealed Yourself and exalted Your word, that we may know the way of salvation, that we may know how we ought to live in purity and love before You. How we praise You that You are a God of condescension and that You have had mercy on us. And how we bless You for Your providential care. And we need not even fear death, for that is a temple crossing to life everlasting. O Lord, cause us to be those who walk with God, who love God, who praise Him in the morning, in the evening, and the afternoon, who love their God and who trust in Him. We bless You for Your faithfulness. In Christ's name.